Hill. W261CY Rock Hill. Good Pharmacy. Rock Hill's hometown pharmacy for over 60 years. Camden Avenue at Ebenezer Road. Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Insurance. How about Anderson Griggs Investments? Yeah. In Old Town Rock Hill, common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Very pleased to have with us. He got a special permit to come across the Catawba River, across that big lake there, for direct from Teague Cay, South Carolina, the one and the only Dr. Tom Hyslop. How you doing, Doc?
Hey, great, Manny. Thanks for having me.
Am I the only person who calls you doctor?
Pretty much, unless I'm at the college. And they like them titles.
They like those titles.
They do.
And you have a degree, your PhD is in what?
Cybersecurity.
Did you get that? Cybersecurity.
Yes, sir.
So if I wanted you to, you could get me to hack into John Reinhardt's computer?
Hypothetically.
And I could get all his money out of there and use it.
Pay for that lunch.
Pay for that lunch. Okay. So, Tom, tell everybody a little bit about your background.
Yes, sir. So, 23 years in federal law enforcement with Secret Service and Department of Defense. Specialized the whole time in cybercrime and digital forensics. And at the same time, I was in the Army Reserve and specialized in cyber there.
Jeez.
And retired back in 2020. Been teaching for the University of South Florida ever since, doing digital forensics, cybercrime, cybersecurity. And
how did all that start? I mean, are you just a whiz kid with computers?
I enjoyed computers as a kid. Had an old VIC-20 when I was 10 years old. I don't even remember those. And then when I got to the Secret Service, cybercrime, it was late 90s, was kind of just evolving. And they said, anybody know anything about computers? You want to do cybercrime? Sounds like fun. And that was it. Put me on the path and been on it ever since.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So did you ever, in your Secret Service career, did you ever go out and run with the President of the United States on his motorcades?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
All the time?
Yeah, well, during the campaign, I did a lot of running, like on trails with President Bush.
W.
Yes.
George
G.W.
Okay.
Yeah. He stole my hat once, never gave it back. Funny story.
Right?
Yeah, because he didn't know the press was there, so he's like, give me your hat.
That's something.
Yeah, it was kind of funny.
We could do a whole show just about the Secret Service.
Oh, good times. Yeah, lots of fun stories.
You really develop personal relationships with the...
To know them, yeah. They remember you, and you, especially if you're on the detail, you know, then they really know you because you're with them every day, and you just... You know, some of them are more friendly than others. It's just kind of mood they're in, and just like any other person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever get a break from the routine? I mean, is it 24/7 all the time?
Well, the service itself is, but yeah, you work shift work. So you're doing eight-hour shifts on a detail and then traveling for protection, you know, either advance work or, you know, standard.
Boy, you got to see the world, didn't you?
Oh, definitely. You see everything. Yeah, more than you want to see, I would say.
Oh, boy, another plane ride.
Yeah, because when you go over in advance, you go on the military's cargo flights with the motorcades.
See, that's something most people don't understand.
Yeah.
When the president travels from, I don't care where it is, from here to Florida.
Yeah.
His plane is just one of a group of planes that goes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That carries the limousine and all the other hardware.
All the other
that
vehicles and the communications equipment. And then the agents that aren't riding with him in the detail are on those cargo planes often. So
wow.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And when they go abroad?
Same thing.
But do you ramp it up even more?
Yeah. And you go much earlier. You'll go like a week early. To meet with your counterparts and to get everything in set up and get in location, and then also to get you acclimated and learn the area, and so you get it's almost like a short vacation a little bit before the president comes, because you'll work, you know, your day, but then you got the rest of the day off.
Right.
He's not there yet, and so you can explore the whatever country you're in. You get to see it. So.
Well, as I say, I could do a whole show with you on this, and I won't do that. I promise you. So how did you end up in Teague Cay?
So my good friend from high school, Brad O'Connor, he lived here for 15 years, and he owns Modelet Brewery up there in Tiga Cay. And so when I retired and got this remote teaching job with USF, we could live anywhere we wanted, and we picked Tiga Cay. Yeah, we always enjoyed coming here and thought it'd be a good place to raise our daughter, and already had a lot of friends here. And so there we are.
There we are. So you teach remotely.
Yes.
And how many courses do you teach?
It's 10 courses a year.
10 courses a year.
Yeah, because I'm year-round, because the program I teach in, it's year-round, so we do full-time summer courses as well. And so, I do 3 in the fall, 3 in the spring, 4 in the summer.
So when you do 3 classes.
Yes.
That's, how does that work? Each class is an hour and a half or an hour?
Because they're all online, right? It's an online program. We don't have what you'd call traditional, synchronous classes. It's all asynchronous.
They're not live?
Not live. Lots of recordings, lots of discussion board work. And then, we have a virtual laboratory online where the students will log in and do their cybersecurity forensics work, and I'll go in and help them. And so you end up doing a lot of work with them live, but no class lectures live.
Sure. So is it tough to stay on top of all the changes in cybersecurity?
Yeah, the biggest problem is, like a traditional course, if you're teaching, the theory of evolution, right? It doesn't change, right? You teach the same thing every semester, where cyber, every semester, every year, you got to update all your courses. You got the new, the new threats, the new attack vectors, the exploits, the changes in forensics and digital evidence. And so you're constantly updating your courses.
So we hear all the news about how China
is
stealing everything from us.
Right.
Why can't we stop it?
Because they're, the majority of their attack are against private sector. Right. I mean, they're going after 90% of their attacks, I would say, are, against private sector companies and individuals. And they just don't have the resources to protect themselves. And, especially the small to medium companies. And so that's where they, focus their threats on. And they realize, in the U.S. government, if they're going after DoD technology, the prime contractor could be Boeing, but they have hundreds of subcontractors, say, on the F-35, Joint Strike Fighter. Well, they go after those subcontractors and try to get they steal the data from them, and then they put it together and they have the whole plans for a weapon system, per se. And so that's the big problem.
So we're pretty much vulnerable anytime.
Yes.
Because we have so many subcontractors building the technology that we have today.
Right. And it's across, it's not just like DoD technology. I mean, all critical infrastructure. You think about water systems, electrical grids, power plants, chemical manufacturing plants, all that stuff. And China is one of their, besides the military technology, one of the big things they're going after is the business, intellectual property. And then they reverse engineer it and start building themselves and sell it cheaper on the global market. So it's a big problem for companies from that aspect.
So you take a look. Let's just take a look at Rock Hill. Now, Rock Hill has the primary wastewater treatment plant and the primary water plant.
Both.
For most of your county.
Yes.
And they have got, I've interviewed, I cannot remember the gentleman's name, but the head of their IT.
Sure.
His job is basically to keep the bad guys from getting in and screwing things up.
Yeah, they got two jobs, right? The one, they got to run the network, keep it running day to day to operate the plants. But then they also got to have the cybersecurity side where they're trying to protect it, and that's a full-time job in itself. Iran, we talked about Iran a couple weeks ago after the attack. I mean, they have a history of attacking water plants and dams in the States, and so that was a big concern at the time. Are they going to retaliate with cyber against our critical infrastructure, specifically water plants and dams? So it was a big talking point and concern amongst the federal government, because how do you protect thousands of small, either privately or municipal-owned water plants?
So when you think about it, modern day warfare may not be missiles and planes and guns. It could be just keystrokes impacting water systems, hospitals, banking systems, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and you've seen that. When Russia attacked Georgia was kind of the first where you saw cyber was the first attack vector. And then they came in with the kinetics afterwards. But they took all their banks, all their internet stuff offline. it took down all their government systems. You take down their command and control systems, and then you roll in with the kinetic attacks that you historically see. Or you don't even do that if you can cripple them. What are they going to do?
So what is the ultimate solution for this? I mean, surely there must be, somebody working on the ultimate security system that nobody can break.
I don't think that'll ever exist.
Really?
Not where it can't be broken, right? Because as stuff has to be updated, you're introducing, you know, software updates, software patches, you'll hear them called, and those could have a vulnerability in that, and you got to continuously test those as they're being introduced into your environment. And if you don't have the resources to test every single patch you're downloading before you deploy them, you could introduce a vulnerability, and it'll get found out eventually, either by someone hacking it or, you know, a security researcher finding it, and then another patch comes out and you issue that patch. And so really it's you know, it's like a triangle. You got CISA, you got NSA, who are doing a bunch of research and putting out information about these threats, and then they go down to, they put that information out to the states, who put it out to the municipalities, to the private industry, and they're just trying to keep up. It's just a constant cat and mouse game.
So how does somebody like you, who's not working for the government right now, but you are teaching this,
yes,
how do you stay on top of this? I mean, do you go off to seminars or what?
Yeah, well, I foul and read all the alerts coming out from primarily CISA and the NSA, and then also that's the two government sides, right? DOD, NSA, CISA is the rest of the government, cybersecurity, infrastructure security agents. They're putting out information about these vulnerabilities they found. But then the private sector has what they call ISACs, Information Sharing and Analysis Centers, for every critical infrastructure sector. And so those are big working groups. And when somebody at a water plant finds something, say, in a SCADA software, they'll alert the ISAC, and they put that out to all the water plants that are members of that ISAC. And so there's a lot of coordination going on, but the problem is if you're not fast enough to implement it, you could become the next target.
So do you ever get a phone call from a municipality or a government of some kind saying, hey, we could use another set of eyes on this because we can't figure it out?
Not so much now in academia, but I used to a lot with the government. You know, we'd get alerted to an attack or, you know, a attempt of an attack, and then we would go in and investigate it and try to tell them what happened. And then it wasn't our job, though, to fix it. We'd tell them what happened, and they would have to hire people to come in and fix it. Again, it's a whole, you know, government-private sector relationship. It's sticky.
So are governments, generally speaking, better protected than individuals like, OTS Media or Reinhardt Realty or anybody else?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, because they, you know, a nation state has the resources and thousands upon thousands of people dedicated to that, where, you know, small to medium companies, they might have one or two people if they're lucky. Larger company, you know, they have the resources to have more. Right. But again, it comes down to resources and justifying it to the CEO and where are you going to put your money?
Well, if you don't want to lose your money, you better put it somewhere.
Yeah they do, and most of them do a good job, but it's still competing, you know, for those limited resources of organizations. Do we hire more people to sell our product and update our product, or do we put more money into cybersecurity? Because most budgets are already pretty high in cybersecurity. So it's
jeez. So tell me something: is true or false? Are there less hacks on people who use Apple products versus those who use PCs?
Yes, but it's getting closer to, you know, 50-50. It used to be, you know, there wasn't that many people use Macs, per se. You know,
right.
But now that they're a large market share. And so the criminals, the hackers, are starting to look at that code and develop exploits for it, where historically they focused on Windows. And the great thing about Macs is the core of Macs is based on the Unix operating system, which is very secure at its core, much more secure than Microsoft. So you don't have nearly as many vulnerabilities to worry about in Apple products as you do in say Windows products.
So give me a 1, 2, 3 on simple things for simple people like John Reinhardt over here.
Sure.
To do to make sure that he doesn't get hacked.
Sure. So the first, set up multi-factor authentication on all your accounts. And that's where, for example, when you go to your bank and they say, we're going to send you a text. So you put your username and password in, then you get that text and you put that code in.
Right.
Right. Because your passwords, they can be, you know, compromised, they can be brute force attacked. And if you don't have that second form of authentication, you're very vulnerable for that. So you really want to have that, whether it's through text messaging or Microsoft or Google's Authenticator app, any account you have, you should have that on there. Yeah. So that's the first one. And then the second one is back your stuff up, back up your data, because if you do get compromised and it gets encrypted or stolen, you still maintain a copy. And that's very easy with, you know, you can use Microsoft OneDrive, Google, you know, Google Drive, Apple Cloud Drive. Back up a copy to that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the two big things.
Well, I'm surprised you haven't hit the third one. The third one is don't open up an attachment.
Yes, that's absolutely. Attachments and links. Don't do it. Don't click on any of them. And they prey on the social engineering. They try to trick you to click those links. And unless you asked for it and you didn't go to the legitimate site, do not click on those links. And that's what they're preying on. They're preying on social engineering, and humans are trusting people, and they try to trick you into clicking that link.
So would you say right now it's kind of a toss-up between the good guys and the bad guys? Or are the bad guys ahead of us and getting worse?
Yeah, well, they're definitely getting worse. And what people don't understand is it's not the, you know, the kid in the basement trying to hack you. These are organized criminal organizations and nation states who are trying to hack you. And so you need to be diligent. And if you take those couple steps we just talked about, you make yourself, you know, 95% more secure than the people that don't. They'll move on to somebody that doesn't have that.
So what do you tell people? We're into the heavy travel season of the year. As a matter of fact, it's 4th of July weekend. Yeah. Everybody's traveling. And we've got, what was the figure? 85 million people who are traveling. 77 million are traveling. And most of those are going by car. But we've got a lot of people who are jamming up the airport.
Sure.
Right? And everybody's carrying their purses and they're carrying their wallets. And yep. Inside of those wallets, besides cash, are credit cards.
Yes.
And through all this, these efforts of the bad guys, they're able to somehow get a lot of numbers off a credit card just
sure.
by walking past people. So
yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah, so that's called RFID. And so you can buy something on Amazon for $10, $15, and when somebody walks by, it captures the credit card numbers.
You can buy it on Amazon?
Oh, yeah, yeah. RFID reader. That's all you need.
Sheesh! They're selling stuff that...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because they have legitimate purposes, right?
What?
So, for example, if you had a conference and you gave people a badge and you wanted to scan as they came in to see how many people came in a conference, for example. Same technology. The problem is the card's got that information built in. And so they do make wallets and cases you can put your cards in that block the signal so that they can't scan it. Not very many people do that, unfortunately. But I do tell everybody, use a credit card, not a debit card. Because if the credit card gets stolen, that's not your money. Right?
That's
if your
right.
debit card gets stolen, that's your money. And now you got to go work with the bank to try to get your money back. If the credit
right.
card gets stolen, that's a credit card problem, right? The credit company's problem, and you let them know, and they work their systems to try to fix it. But
and what people don't understand is that these financial institutions are spending billions of dollars
yes.
trying to protect their systems.
Absolutely.
I don't care if it's a tiny credit union or it's Bank of America.
Right.
I mean, it's just the bigger...
Billions and billions.
Oh, it's just unbelievable.
It is. It is.
The credit card fraud is off the charts.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's off the charts.
It is. With everybody shopping online and you're storing your cards on these different merchants, and that's where the majority of credit card fraud happens, where they compromise or hack a small company that you bought something from online, and that's where they get your cards numbers from. And usually it has all what they call fools. In the hacker terms, that means it's got your name, your address, your zip code, and the CCV code on the back. They have everything, and they can just go use them.
So if you're making a purchase online and you're talking to somebody and you're giving them this information.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think you would want to ask them, what is this information going to disappear once you process the payment?
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. And the other problem is you're not even talking to someone. It's automated on the website, and it says you want to store this information for later use.
No.
Don't store it.
Don't store it.
Take the 10 seconds to type it in.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if that company gets hacked, your data's gone with it.
Absolutely.
That's a big problem.
All right. This guy, Tom Hyslip, has got a veritable font of information, more than just cybersecurity. He happens to be also a TKK city councilman, and he's the deer slayer. And we're going to talk to him about all that when we come back from our mid-program break. And remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Okay, we're here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. We are enjoying nice, cool air conditioning, fresh subs and salads, and you need to get yourself on in here. Why? Because of the way we do our sandwiches. At the count of three, let's tell them. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI
and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the lunch special pricing.
I like the bread, good prices, and location.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Most people experience orthopedic concerns at some point in their lifetime, whether it's arthritis, back pain, injury, or any other condition. At Piedmont Medical Center, our team understands joint pain can make a huge difference in your day-to-day activities, and we stand ready to help. With minimally invasive surgical options available, the orthopedic teams in Rock Hill and Fort Mill are here to help you break free from pain so you can live more happily. Learn more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Hit the spot, definitely.
Friends are great, and the company's great, and the food is fantastic. Red's fresh, and they make my special for me every day.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
Great. It sounds like we don't have a plan.
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Visit ready.gov/kids and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
Back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Very pleased to have with us Councilman Tom Hyslip, Councilman Dr. Tom Hyslip. And you've been a councilman how long now?
It'll be 4 years. I'm on my fourth year right now.
Fourth year.
Re-election coming up in November.
Really?
Yes, sir.
So you're going to run? You've already announced
that's
your candidate?
That's the plan.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh? So much fun you can't... You want to have more of it. Okay.
Yeah. Good times.
So what the heck is all this about the deer? I mean, I got a solution for you that's going to cost you a heck of a lot less money. I got a bunch of friends down there at Nickel Store, and they know how to shoot the eyes out of a woodpecker.
Well,
right?
I can tell you we've had multiple calls and emails from people willing to come and do that.
And save you a bunch of money.
Well, there's a state law, right? And we have a local law, so it's inside the city of TK, you cannot fire a weapon unless you have a special permit from the city. And then in this shoot the deer, we don't have a hunting season, so you got to go to DNR to get a permit to call the deer, as we call it. But we just had so many deer. The Dr. Dina Cola from White Buffalo, who came in, our expert, said he's been doing this for 30 years all over the country, and this is the most deer he's ever seen in an urban environment.
Really?
In 30 years. And the counts were over 1,000 on a peninsula, which is maybe 3 square miles. Over 1,000 deer in 3 square miles. So it was a lot of deer.
What does he attribute that to?
Oh, there's no natural predators and lots to eat, and they live a long time, you know, other than a potential vehicle collision. Or there are a lot of them would get caught on fences and die. But
And you also don't have any natural habitats up there. I mean,
no,
all the woods are gone, basically, right?
Right. Yeah, you got the golf course with a few areas around there.
So you hire this, you go through all this permitting process, and you hire this group, and they get up there on the golf course, and I don't know how you work that out, but they can only shoot at certain hours of the day or something like that.
They shot at night, and they had night vision and infrared and scopes, and then they identified specific areas where it was safe to shoot because there was no houses and there was a backdrop, and so the bullet would hit it, like a firing range, right? You have a backdrop. behind it, the boat hit that and stop. And then, but prior to the culling, we sterilized 200 deer, which was quite the experience. You know, up until now, and I never knew they sterilized deer. That was, you know, the whole plan was to stop the babies from being born. And so we sterilized 200 deer. It seems to be working because those 200 deer didn't have any babies, you know.
But you got 1,000 of them out there.
1,000 of them, yes.
So how many did you cull?
160.
160.
Yeah.
So all this together has cost the taxpayers of TKK.
Don't quote me on the exact number, but it was around $250,000.
$250,000. And you still got plenty of deer.
Yeah, but you can definitely see a difference. You're not seeing them as often or as many herds around, like you used to see. So I think it's making a difference.
So have you budgeted a similar amount for this coming year?
Yeah, so we have our budget workshop next week, and I know the staff has you know, put a line item in there to do this again. Myself, you know, I would like to see it happen again. I can't speak for all of council, I think it's effective and it's making a difference. And I think if we continue down this road, we'll get to a point where you still have a normal number of deer, but not overwhelming.
I got you. So what is your fiscal year for TKK?
So traditionally it's been October 1st to September 30th, but this year we're switching to get on the same schedule as the county. So we're going to go from this October to July. It'll be 9 months, and then we'll go from July to be on schedule with the county.
All right. So now this is the 4th of July.
Yes.
TKK is known for its boat parade.
Boat parade, golf cart parade.
Golf cart parade.
It's a great week. And it's TKK's birthday, if you didn't know that.
I've heard it on the air couple hundred times. How old is the city now?
It'll be 43. We're 82. 82. What's that? 82.
Yeah. You only incorporated 2 years before I got here?
Yeah, 1982.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I thought it was older than that.
No, they were a private community before that.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So for people who don't realize how fast you've grown, you're now a city of what?
Just under 15,000 was the last number.
15,000 people.
About square miles.
5 square miles. And when you came to TKK, what was it, 20 years ago?
No. I've been here a short time. 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've grown a lot in just 5 years, have you not?
Yeah, because there was some developments that were already in the process, and a few thousand, at least, I would say, people in those developments.
But you're about build out.
Yes. Yeah, there's very, I think, in the last 3 years, we approved 2 developments. The Main Street development, as it's being called, and then another small one down on the lake. And that pretty much, in Woodhaven. So it was actually 3, but that... There's one plot of land left next to the city on Hubert Graham Drive that's in the county now.
So you are building the city of TKK, a brand new, the first, I guess, Main Street.
Yes, we're probably going to have a Main Street.
Tell me about this project.
Yeah, so it's about a $270 million project the developers are doing. It'll be behind our Walmart between Stonecrest Drive and Dam Road. It'll have 100,000 square feet of commercial space. It'll have 2 large outbuildings that they're envisioning, maybe a brewery and a food court with some shopping, 5-acre park. And then it has about 80 homes, about 50 townhomes, and then that development was previously approved, and we had to modify it. But so there will be about 225 apartments above the commercial.
So what's the timeline of this thing?
We're hoping to have the official groundbreaking next month. They're just waiting on the final plat. And once that's approved, we'll get the groundbreaking in, hoping to get the governor up here and have the big ceremony. And then they'll start moving dirt and getting infrastructure in, and hopefully within a year going vertical and
interesting
rolling from there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Tom, thank you for coming down.
Always
taking
always
the effort
enjoy
to come on down. And by the way, if you are interested in what's going on in TKK, he has another little side hustle. It's called the TKK Sun. It's a very nice publication.
Our local
very
little well newspaper. Done. Having fun with that.
And they are a partner with OTS Media, and we appreciate all that we're doing together. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. So if we can wake up the FedEx guy over here, get his nose out of that crossword puzzle that he does every day he comes in here, We're going to tell you what happens here at Substation 2 6 days a week. By the way, they are closed tomorrow and will be reopening on Saturday. All right? Close the 4th, open on the 5th. All right, at the count of three, let's tell them how it's done. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad, FedEx. Good, good. Good job. Have yourself a wonderful 4th of July. We'll see you on the radio next week. Bye.
South Carolina's most honored radio station. News Talk 100.1 WRHI Rock Hill. W261CY Rock Hill. The voice of York County.
An OTS media station.
Marathon opposition. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. House Republicans still awaiting a final vote on a bill to advance key parts of the Trump agenda, but it's been delayed by the House Democratic leader speaking for more than 8 hours now.
We do know that House Speaker Mike Johnson has been roaming the halls, going back and forth a little bit, speaking with reporters as we catch up to him. And he says President Trump's personal involvement in trying to push this package through has made all the difference from some of those House Republicans who were on the fence only a few hours ago.
The president's very engaged. He was very helpful in the process. He helped answer questions.
The president also speaking out on True Social, saying what a great night it was. One of the most consequential bills ever. The USA is the hottest country in the world.
Fox's Mark Meredith on Capitol Hill. The president says the bill will spark an economic boom. Democrats say it'll strip health care and other Medicaid assistance from millions. President Trump holding a call with Russia's President Putin.